such irons. Pretty good, huh, Mandy?
Chair, you are on the record.
Thank you. Good afternoon and welcome to Lassen Jones Industrial Development Export Authority's Wednesday, January 18th board meeting. I'd like to call the meeting to order. And I'd like, do a roll call of the board members.
Commissioner Sandy?
I'm here.
Commissioner Crump?
Here.
Bill Kendig?
Here.
Albert Fogel?
Here.
Bill Beaglemore?
Here.
Randy Ellis?
Here.
Chair Cruz?
Here. Thank you. Next up is our agenda. Has there been a chance to take a look at it? Any suggestions, deletions, or additions? If not, entertain a motion. Accept.
I move the agenda as presented.
Bill Biblemore, second. Is there any objection to adopting the agenda as presented? Hearing and seeing none, our agenda is approved. Adopted. Brings us to item number four, Prime Minutes, December 19, 2022. Does anybody have any before we put it on the table? Anybody setting up any changes, deletions, clarifications, or last meeting minutes? I'm going to take a motion to adopt.
I move the prior minutes, December 19, 2022, as presented. Bill Kennedy.
Bill Biglemore, second. Any objection to adopt the meetings as presented? Hearing and seeing none, our minutes are approved. Brings us up to item number five, public comments. For those of you online in the boardroom, I ask that you limit your comments to 2 minutes. Please speak for something that's on the agenda, and we need your full name and affiliation if you have one. Jamie, would you, anybody online?
Okay, there are no commenters online.
All right. Does anybody in the boardroom wish to make a public comment? Well, there, our executive director of the AEA is sitting there. The comment came up. I thought maybe he'd do something. All right. Yeah. You say you have one, Rainey? All right. Go ahead. Let's go ahead and put the person on.
Commenter, you're on the line.
Does that press star 9 or something?
To comment, please press star 9 on your phone. This will bring you to the commenter placement board, please. So are you on the line?
I pressed. Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir, we can.
Okay. My name is Barry Jackson. I'm raising a question with regard to a civil suit filed by Carson Rodding on 9/20 of 2022, September 20th, in which the prayer for relief was in excess of $1 million. The civil suit was voluntarily withdrawn on December 28th of 2022. And my question is, was there a settlement of that suit?
So this is a public comment section of our board meeting. We don't answer questions, and anything having to do with legal, we don't comment on. If you're looking for something, my suggestion would be that you put it in writing for a response to the organization, and you can address it to Randy?
You can go ahead and address that to me, R. Hammond, H-A-M-A-N-N, at AIDEA.org. Once again, at R. Hammond, R-H-A-M-A-N, at AIDEA.org. Thank you.
Anybody else?
No, Chair.
No?
Yeah.
Okay. I will close the public comment section and go directly to board training. We have Wendy up in a presentation.
Well, I think no overview of this presentation. Okay. So today, I'm just going to take a few minutes of your afternoon. We're going to go over some of the highlights of the Ethics Act and how that applies to you guys as board members for ADA and also AEA. The Ethics Act can be found at Alaska Statute 39.52. I do encourage you to take a look at it if it's been a while since you've read it. It is important to note that when we're dealing with ethics questions or potential Ethics Act violations, every case is very, it's fact-specific. So, I mean, the law gives us kind of the framework that we're going to look at, you know, that we're going to go to for specific definitions and things that we need to adhere to. But it's also important to remember that it is very fact-specific decision that is being looked at. So you've got to, you know, take that into account. And I encourage you to utilize Dana or myself if you do ever have any questions that could potentially get you in trouble with ethics violations. If you do have any questions about whether the Ethics Act is going to apply to certain decisions that you're going to make or certain actions that you would take as a board member. So first, the scope of the Ethics Act is we're looking at any substantial or material conflicts of interest for you guys on an ADA or AEA board. You know, a lot of times what we would be dealing with from a practical standpoint in your situation is if you've got some business, outside business interests, which I think most of you probably do, some private business interests. If any of those companies or entities were to come before AEA or the ADA board for a possible loan or bonding or some sort of participation in that private business matter. So it's important to know also there's not just like a blanket prohibition. The Ethics Act is not written to try to keep state employees or volunteer board members from being able to go out and you know, take advantage of any private, you know, business opportunities that you want to do. It's just making sure that those are not going to be in conflict with your actions and your service on the board. So in situations where you might want to, you know, present an opportunity to AEA or to ADA that you would particularly or personally benefit from, that would be a situation where you could take that to Dana. If Dana has questions about it, he could ask the Department of Law. But generally what's going to happen in that situation is you're just going to need to recuse yourself from taking any action or making any votes. And we'll talk about this a little bit later in a little bit more detail, but it's important to note, too, that taking any formal action is not just going to be a vote. It's even if you make recommendations to other board members and try to persuade other people to vote in favor of that, even though you're recused from the vote, that is still taking action that you need to be aware of. So you've got to be very conscientious of conversations that you're having if there is going to be a potential benefit to yourself. It's also important to note that the Ethics Act covers your immediate family members also. It doesn't just cover your own business interests. So immediate family, you know, we're dealing with spouse, children, parents, like kids, relatives in the first degree. So you've got to be obviously conscientious of that, too. It's not just spouse either. It's partners also. So, I mean, if you live together in a relationship with somebody that's similar to a spousal relationship, then that's going to be considered immediate family also. So that's just something to be conscientious of. Yes?
Yeah. So Wendy, if you're in a partnership with a group or a person, and they come before the organization in a separate group or person, and you have a financial interest not related to this, but with that person, would that be considered something to look at?
Not necessarily. I mean, potentially, again, it's really fact-specific, so it depends on if you stand to have any gain or have any type of material gain or substantial gain from any action that you would take.
Let me give you an example. You own a building, a commercial building with one or two or four or five people, and that one or two people that go over, they're going to buy this building over here. It comes before ADA for a loan. You have nothing to do with the building, but you're part owner of this other asset.
Totally separate, then that's not going to be an ethics issue there.
Mm-hmm.
So the entities are considered like persons also in your immediate family. So and you have to have a substantial holding in a company also. And the kind of de minimis kind of set limit is $5,000. $5,000 is what your stock or value in a company would be, and that would be seen as you materially participating or having a substantial interest in it. That's not saying, like, you know, if you have a startup company and your stock is valued at, you know, $100 right now or something like that, and you're going to come before ADA and AEA, no. Like, don't do that. Like, that still needs to be disclosed. You know, that's not de minimis, just like because of that dollar limit. Like, that's not a hard rule or anything like that. It's just kind of a general rule of thumb that if you do have stock in, or ownership in a company that's valued over $5,000, then that's going to be seen as a substantial holding, so that you would need to disclose in that situation. Okay, so one of the things I did want to do for you guys real quick is just let you know, so the Department of Law has a lot of resources that are available for you online. If you go to the Department of Law's website and click on Law Resources, there is an entire, like, this training presentation is on there. There's PowerPoint. There's frequently asked questions about, like, if you leave employment or you leave your position on the board, you know, what happens at that point? Like, there's been some questions that have come up. There is this 2-year kind of considered a cooling off period after you leave state employment or after you surrender your position on a board where you are not supposed to you're not supposed to work on anything that you worked on as a state employee or as a board member. But that only applies if you work substantially on a certain project. It doesn't apply, you know, otherwise. It's not like a blanket kind of 2-year prohibition or anything like that. There's some really good resources there. I encourage you to go through and look at them. The frequently asked questions are really good. And there's also the reporting forms are there for you as well. Like, just easy links for you to follow. That if you do have a potential ethics or a potential ethics question that you want to pose to Dana, that you can fill out the form and, you know, get it in writing to him. If Dana has an issue, like a potential ethics issue, or is going to, you know, possibly have some sort of conflict that needs to be disclosed, since he is your designated ethics reporting person for the board members, Dana would bring that to Department of Law if he had any questions. From his standpoint. Procedurally, the way that it should work is that if there is a report of a potential conflict that needs to be disclosed per the Ethics Act, you need to put that in writing, and then it also needs to go on the public record. So in the next board meeting, we would need to get something on the record that states, you know, hey, Bill Kendig is going to recuse himself because of, you know, this potential conflict of interest. So we would just need to go through that process. Board members do have a say. You guys as an organization can still vote if there is a question. Like, Dana makes a decision and says, hey, I think some of that Bill needs to recuse himself because of this. If anybody comes in and says, well, I don't think he should have to recuse himself, you guys can call for a vote and actually have a board decision made on, you know, whether you think somebody would need to recuse themselves. I would really caution you on doing that unless you talk to Department of Law first and we've given the okay that, you know, we think that there is a good reason why somebody wouldn't need to recuse, or clear that there's not an actual conflict for you guys, just so that we don't get, you know, in any type of trouble with any type of ethics violations. It is important to know that, and I'll start with some of these. So there are actual penalties that can be assessed to you individually, civilly, if you are found to be in violation of the Ethics Act. A lot of those types of penalties will come if you know, seeing that you were really acting in bad faith, like it was a clear conflict that you should have disclosed and you didn't talk to anybody about it. But it's important to know, too, that, you know, when you're dealing with state loans, like if you're coming, you've got an organization or an entity that's coming before ADA or AEA, one of the penalties or one of the remedies that the state can take if you are in violation of the Ethics Act is they can call that loan, and it can be immediately due right away. And so that's just something to think about, you know, from a startup business or, you know, an operational standpoint. I mean, you'd be in a little bit of a pinch, I think, cash flow-wise if you had to, you know, all of a sudden cough up this loan that, you know, AEA or ADA helped out with. So that's really important, you know, from that standpoint, from the loan standpoint. So contracts can be unwound and canceled. So that's important to know, you know, if you've got entities that are banking on certain contracts, just to make sure that there's not, you know, any bad facts or any error about those that have ethics violations, so that there wouldn't be any issues with those contracts for third parties. And then I believe the civil penalty is $5,000, and then you can also be required to pay the state up to twice the amount of the financial benefit that you got from, you know, the contractor, from whatever it was, when you acted unethically. So I think that those are all just important to keep in the back of your head. If nothing else, for a little bit of incentive to just make sure that you're disclosing what you need to disclose, and that you're bringing it, at, you know, before the board as you need to. Let's see. There's a couple of things that I wanted to go through and just highlight that the Ethics Act covers, and what it, like the scope of it, what it's trying to govern. So one of the things that the Ethics Act is looking at is misuse of your official position. So you can't misuse your position as a board member to be able to, you know, financially benefit or to give benefits to somebody else who would not have been deserving of those. Also, improper gifts. You cannot receive improper gifts. There is a form on the Department of Law's website for reporting gifts that are over a certain dollar amount. Generally, $50 is considered, you know, kind of your rule of thumb that you want to stay under that. But that's, again, still going to be really fact-specific, because even a small gift or something of value of less than $50, if it could be determined or it's seen as it was intended for that gift to try to sway you or to influence you a certain way, then that's still going to be an improper gift regardless of the value. So don't hang your hat on that $50. You know, general best rule of thumb is just don't accept gifts, entertainment, things of value from other people. There are some, don't accept any from lobbyists. I think some of you guys, like, already know some of this stuff. But the lobbyist rule is, like, a zero gift, like, none, like, $0, like, not even $1. Let's see. Improper use or disclosure of information. So if you are privy to some confidential information because of your state employment or because of your position on the board, you're not able to use that information for your own benefit or for the benefit of your immediate family. And you can't disclose that information to other people unless it's already been disclosed publicly. And there's some specific definitions of that, but generally speaking, it's just going to be available for public consumption. So if it's published in a newspaper, if it's available on the website, things like that, obviously that information is available for you to disclose. But you can't use any other private or confidential information that you gain because of your position. Improper influence. You cannot try to use your position to influence others. I think that one's pretty self-explanatory. You cannot improperly represent others. This one doesn't apply to you guys a whole lot. This would be if you were representing people in before beta and coming before the board. But that's not going to apply to you guys in those situations. Improper outside employment. So as a state employee or a volunteer member of a board, you have to disclose your outside employment or outside interest. Again, the Act is not seeking to limit any type of outside engagement other than if there is something that you undertake in your private life that conflicts with your service on the board, then that would be an issue there. But otherwise it really is just a disclosure mechanism to make sure that we can keep the Ethics Act in check and that there's not going to be a conflict. So you've already disclosed, hey, I've got these outside interests, and it would be clear from that disclosure if there was going to be some sort of material conflict that would trigger an Ethics Act question.
Is there a time frame we have to do that annually, Wendy?
Yeah, we do it, I believe, by July 1st every year. But, yeah, you need to update it every year. And if you have any change before that, like if there's any material change, you need to do an update then, too. So you don't necessarily need to wait for the year if you do have any type of major change that happens.
Randy, Albert got bumped off.
Another prohibition is improper employment after leaving state service. So this was something that I mentioned earlier. So it's just important to note that, for you guys serving on the board, if you vote on, take any action on, or work on any ADA or AEA projects, that you would be limited in your employment after your service for 2 years in any type of employment where it was materially the same matter. So you're not going to be limited elsewhere. It would just be, for instance, if you, I would just say maybe as a board member, if you work really closely with a third-party contractor, then when you left your board position, you would not go and work for that contractor on the same exact issues that they were dealing with. Either. You could work on other things for that third-party contractor. You just wouldn't be able to work on particular contracts or issues that they dealt with for AIDA for those 2 years. But that's the limit there. There's not, it doesn't limit you, in totality for your employment. We can't do that. We want everybody to be gainfully employed. And then kind of the catch-all for the Ethics Act that it's important to remember is there is you are violating the Ethics Act if you aid anyone else in violating the Ethics Act. So when I mentioned earlier, if there is a conflict, yes, you can recuse yourself from voting, but if you're still trying to sway other people, or if you actually vote because somebody's talking to you and is in your ear and talking to you about, hey, give my company this contract or give my company this loan, and you vote accordingly, then you are aiding in violating the Ethics Act there. So, again, multiple people, I kind of trickle-down effect there would be in trouble. So you just want to be really conscientious of, making sure you disclose any potential conflicts that would trigger the Ethics Act. And if you do have anything to disclose or a potential question about whether you would need to disclose, then bring that to Dana. And like I said, he can kick that to us if there's, any type of, sticky questions or sticky facts that are going on with it. But we're, definitely here as resources if you guys have questions. Or just want to get clearance on, certain activities before you take action. That's really the key. I'm just asking you guys to be proactive in this sense, that we want to make sure that we are really cautious. And I would ask that you, err on the side of caution in bringing things forward to the board, to the chair, and then to myself if you do have any questions on it. And then just hold tight for just a minute. Don't take any action until we can actually give you, the guidance on where we're going forward, what steps to take. But again, I really wanted to make sure that you guys are aware if you do have questions. There's a lot of the frequently asked questions on the Department of Law's website are really helpful. And I think that it would, if you've got any questions about, hey, well, should I vote on this? Or if you do know that you've got, some potential that's coming up with some of your outside you know, engagements or anything like that, that you would go ahead and take a look at some of the resources that are available. And I think it'll definitely help steer you in the right direction.
Who are we missing up there?
This is Commissioner Fanny. Commissioner Crum had to sign off to another engagement, and so he'll hop back on if he's able to, but I was just waiting for a break to know if I'm there.
Okay.
All right. Any questions?
Pretty straightforward. Thank you.
Fairly painless. All right. Thanks, y'all.
Looks like we're having gumbo for lunch.
When's our next meeting? Yeah.
We'll park in the parking lot and sit out in the street.
Yeah. It'll be worth it.
It'll be nice to me that day.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about that one. Okay, so I appreciate that, Wendy. Thank you. That brings us to item number 7, new business. And I'd like to welcome our new executive director to the first official board meeting. Welcome, Randy. And you want to say a couple things before we get to the resolution?
Sure. Thank you, Chair, members of the board. I just wanted to add a few comments in addition to previous statements. The board's had a copy of my resume for a while to review, but there's a couple other things I wanted to mention real quick. I have worked on a number of projects over the years, some of the biggest projects around in state history that some made it, some didn't, but the Kinnickahn Bridge, I worked extensively on that project, putting together a finance plan in the end, and permitting. So I've got a pretty good background in permitting. I'm not an engineer, but I've worked on quite a few of these projects over the years. I'm also an attorney. I've worked on litigation of permits. The first case I worked on as a clerk, I think, in Ketchikan, I still remember, it was Temsco Helicopters. I was trying to get a permit for a landing pad. And landing sites to do helicopter tourism. And it was opposed by a guy that said he lived 30 miles away but could see the goats on a clear day and didn't want them disturbed. And so the permit couldn't go forward. We won that case. But it was a opening experience for me in how difficult it can be to get projects through. And so I think my legal background will help me quite a bit. I've also, over the years in working for governors in different positions, become pretty adept at putting together teams, you know, small teams, 5-6 people, different skill sets and things to be organized and push forward together as a group. And I think we've got a lot of that capability here in place, and I look forward to working on that. I've also done a lot of outreach over the years with stakeholders, and we'll continue that with if it's evenings and weekends, whatever it takes, but I'll be visiting different parts of the state, meeting with Alaskans and stakeholders. I'll be out in the valley probably in a couple of weeks, and we'll just have some focus on that as well. Thank you, Chair.
Well, thank you, Randy. So our new business item A is Resolution G23-01. Appointment of officers of the corporation. I understand a motion for that one.
It's Bill Kendig. I move resolution number G23-01, resolution of the Alaska Industrial Development Export Authority relating to the Office of Executive Director and Secretary of Treasurer.
Thank you.
Bill, Gilmore, second motion.
Thank you. Discussion on the resolution.
This is Commissioner Kennedy. I just wanted to make a quick comment. Thank Mr. Raro for being willing to serve. His level of experience and expertise are going to help organizations who have already been helping. And we've got some really great projects in front of us. I appreciate his enthusiasm and also his real passion for Alaska and moving projects forward to the benefit of Alaskans. So thank you very much for being willing to serve.
Thank you.
Thank you, Julie. Any further comments? Well, welcome to Randy, and I will ask Randy to pull the board. Make it official.
Commissioner Sandy?
Yes.
Commissioner Crum?
Absent.
Mr. Kendig?
Yes.
Mr. Fogel?
Yes.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mr. Bibelhor?
Yes.
Chair Pruitt.
What was his name again?
Raro.
Absolutely yes.
Nice.
Thank you. All right, that brings us up to item number B under new business. Resolution G23-02, Mustang Holdings LLC, calendar year 2023 budget. I'll turn it over to Randy to give us an update and what he's looking for.
Sure. Thank you, Chair. This resolution relates to some needed funds for some budget items on this project, and I'll actually ask Mr. Johns to provide some detail for the Chair and the Board.
All right. You'll sit right over here, Randy. You don't get out of seat that quick.
Yeah.
Good afternoon. Good
afternoon. Thank you very much. Good afternoon, Chair and Board members. As Executive Director Raro highlighted, in front of you is a resolution to address some budgetary items for Mustang Holding LLC, the ADA-created LLC to hold the assets that we obtained through the September 2020 foreclosure on certain working assets and borrowers on what was referred to as the Mustang Project or the Mustang Development, specifically the Southern Milovich Unit. In December of that year, Mustang Holding was named the operator and recognized as such by the Department of Natural Resources and the Alaska Oil and Gas Conservation Commission. As you see through this memo, we have now received board approval through GE-2117 related to competitive bid sale disposition of certain assets, of whether it's Mustang Holding, the personal or real property. We are currently in and remain in active negotiations with some interested parties. Having said that, in order to carry the project as the 90.1% working interest owner and named operator, there are certain obligations that we have to meet through statute as a prudent operator, particularly in the context of annual lease payments. We're pursuant to the five leases that constitute the Southern Milovich Unit, the lease that's related to the Mustang Road, and along with that comes certain bonding requirements that is required as an operator through DNR, as well as the Alaska Oil and Gas Conservation Commission and the Department of Environmental Conservation, the bulk of which is represented in the attachment, and that is generally I've classified as operating expenses, and as you can see, that's about $130,000. The remainder is general admin related to pad preservation, legal support related to this competitive bid and sell process, and as well as some general operating expenses, again, that is required as the named operator of the SMU. At that, I will certainly cease my comments here and open it up if you have any questions or any clarification.
No, let's discuss it this little bit. So, questions from the board? Randy?
Thank you. By the way, I'm the other Randy. Randy Illich.
We got R-E and R-O.
That's great. That's going to work. So, could you give me a little more information on the general and administrative expenses shown at on this spreadsheet?
Certainly, Board Member Ellidge, is generally what you're looking at is as Mustang Holding did acquire what constitutes the real property through foreclosure. And as a result of the way that we acquired that real property, despite the fact that it is a public corporation of the state of Alaska and a political subdivision of DCCED, and Mustang Holding is wholly owned by ADA, is because of the foreclosure process, Mustang Holding must file and actually pay property tax to the state as well as the boroughs and respective municipalities that we have either real property or personal property in there. And that line item does include property tax payments, as well as regulatory required, again, insurance and bonding, and those lease payments, as I highlighted, related to those particular leases up in the North Slope.
So for the record, Jeff, how much are you asking for?
I am asking for about $568,000 for the 12 months that constitute calendar year 2023.
Is there any way to reduce that?
I've been quite aggressive in this. Having said that, there may be avenues, particularly related to legal costs, pursuant to our ongoing negotiations with those interested parties. We may be able to reduce that, pushing perhaps a lot of the drafting onto our counterparties as opposed to working with outside counsel. I'm not certain. We can certainly, for example, as I expect to receive through the state's petroleum property tax assessor an assessed value of the Mustang property towards the end of February, if history holds true, and then we have a 20-day period in which we can challenge that particular assessment, and if we are successful and choose to challenge, we may see that the assessed value could be reduced, and therefore that would obviously reduce our property tax bill.
Is this assessed value tied to the bankruptcy or taking possession of it?
Well, it ultimately does, yes. As part of our collateral, again, was the real property that constitutes Mustang, the Mustang project, as well as any personal property that we acquired here in the state. There is obviously personal property that resides outside of the state, principally what is referred to as the Mustang Operations Center 1 production facility that is, generally speaking, in Calgary, Alberta. That, of course, is not subject to taxation here in Alaska.
Do we have any taxation from the North Slope Borough?
Yes, we do. Yes, specifically North Slope Borough, Fairbanks, North Star Borough, Matsu Borough, and the municipality of Anchorage.
Well, where's Ketchikan Borough? The Juneau Borough? Peanut.
Well, unfortunately, we don't have property scattered throughout the state, just those specific locations.
Chair, just to add to what Mr. Johns provided, there may be some discretion to some of the agency commissioners to reduce or eliminate some of these fees and bond requirements. I'm not 100% sure, but I'll be making the rounds and talking to the commissioners, seeing if we can get a further reduction.
So with the recent asset given to the state, is there any impact on roads?
I think that is a question for council and how we choose to address the most recent dividend declaration and resolution, and that is also part of Randy's, Mr. Raro's, Director Raro's comments in terms of further communications. Having said that, is that was potentially anticipated pursuant to, again, the property tax assessment that we shall be receiving in the coming weeks.
And I should correct myself. It was a dividend to the state. Thank you very much for making that clear.
This is Commissioner Sandy. I'll try to get some clarity. The Office of the State Assessor is through DCCED, and so I'll try to get some clarity on that. But just, for the general public and especially, recognizing there's a whole bunch of new lawmakers that were just sworn in yesterday in Juneau, and the community did a great job of welcoming those folks. But, as folks try to get caught up to speed with even what is AIDA and what does AEA do, to the degree that we can try to be a little heavy on the explanations of things, especially in these next few meetings as people try to get to know us, I think that would be helpful for some folks. But also, this is a very complex issue, right? So so I'm very clear, as a subdivision of DCCED, but as a corporate entity, Mustang Holdings is, because let me back up for a second. So state-held land is not, does not pay property tax. Correct?
That's correct, Commissioner, with a few exceptions, and I think, unfortunately, we fall into one of those exceptions.
Yes,
Chair, Commissioner Sandy, this is Randy. I think your statement's generally correct. There are a few exceptions, and I think, unfortunately, this entity and this property falls within the exception.
Yes, Commissioner Sandy, again, this is Jeffrey Johns, is per an opinion from the Department of Law, circa January 2021, based upon their interpretation analysis, as Executive Director Raro highlighted, is Mustang Holding, in the context of the necessity of filing and ultimately paying property tax, we have what we colloquially refer to as an exception to the exception, unfortunately. And it's principally due to the fact that I've already highlighted is the way that we came about owning the personal and real property was through foreclosure, and because of that process, despite the fact that Mustang Holding is wholly owned by ADA, a non-taxpaying entity, again, that foreclosure triggers the exception to the exception, and unfortunately, we must file and therefore pay property tax.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I just out of curiosity, so that's your opinion.
So, Morgan, Morgan Neff, Chief Investment
Officer. The Department of Law of opinion, right?
It's not, it's actually not their opinion. This exemption to exemption originated back in the late 80s, when the housing crisis happened within, the state. This stepped in and provided the ability for anyone that foreclosed on the property, specifically at the time it was referred, what's referred to now as HFC, in order to not penalize the underlying borough and municipality, this exemption to that tax exemption was implemented because there was a substantial amount of foreclosures. So it required the corporation to continue its property tax. Because we took things, because we took the assets over through a foreclosure process and enacted that exemption that's been in place for, you know, 20, 30 years now. So it's, the opinions that we've really have relied on law for were the previously owed but yet paid property taxes from the borough, and we have not submitted a remitted payment for those. However, we feel very confident that we do fall in that exemption, and we have been paying as a responsible owner of this asset through foreclosure the property taxes that have been due to each municipality and borough.
The reason I wanted to call that out, and thank you for that information, is I wanted to call that out again for the staff and the members of the board, because as we are asked questions moving forward, it's such a complex issue that I just want to keep hammering at home to make sure we all understand the details and can speak to it, right? So, and this is a really important one. So thanks, I appreciate that. And I'll reach out to the office of the state tax assessor just get more information on what room, if any, we have between state agencies.
Okay. Any further questions? I'll entertain a motion.
This is Bill Kendrick. I move resolution number G23-02, resolution of the Alaska Industrial Development Export Authority approving the calendar year 2023, January 1 through December 31st, 2023, budget and project plan in the support of the Mustang Oil Field Development Project.
This is Bill Dillmore. I second the motion.
Thank you. Further discussion? Hearing no request for further discussion. Randy, would you pull the board?
Commissioner Sandy?
Yes.
Commissioner Crum? Yes. Mr. Kendig?
Yes.
Mr. Fogel?
Yes.
Mr. Ellich?
Yes.
Mr. Riebelmore?
Yes.
Chair Cruz?
Yes. Thank you. Okay. Last item under new business is item C, executive session. This is confidential and deliberate matter related to the 33rd Alaska State Legislative Session and federal issues. I will entertain a motion to go into executive session.
This is Bill Kendrick. I move that the board enter an executive session for the purpose of discussing the following matters, which if discussed publicly would have an adverse effect on the finances of ADA. Matters that are attorney-client privilege and matters involving consideration of government records that by law are not subject to public disclosure. Each of these matters and the executive session are supported by the Open Meetings Act, reference Alaska Statute 44.16.310(c)(1), (3), and (4).
This is Bill Bivenmore, second.
Thank you. Randy, would you poll the board?
Mr. Sandy?
Yes.
Commissioner Crum? Mr. Kennedy?
Yes.
Mr. Fogel?
Yes.
Mr. Ellidge?
Yes.
Mr. Bivenmore?
Yes.
Chair Pruitt?
Yes.
Executive session. Chair, you are on the record.
Thank you, Remy. I will advise the public that the board is not taking any action on the matters discussed while we're in executive session. This session is limited to discussion of what matters directly protected from public disclosure by the Open Meetings Act. Going back to our agenda, brings us to item number 8, which is director's comments. We won't hold them too tight to the information since he's new, but we'll warn him that next time, watch out.
Yeah, I've been doing that a lot lately. But chair members, we have the 2022 annual report from ADA. I'm going to ask Josie to talk about it a little bit. I'm just going to say one point that I worked on with Josie in the report, and that's to try to bring in some Alaskan voices into the report. And you'll see that with Mr. Rexford from Kaktovik and talking about the need to develop ANWR on that section of the report. But I'll turn it over to Josie.
Welcome, Josie.
Thank you. So in your packets and available in print in session here today and online is our 2022 annual report. It has been distributed to the legislature. Our approach for this year's report is to highlight Alaskan stories and Alaskans that have benefited from ADA activities this past year. We're committed to sharing more of these great stories and the reason behind why we do what we do here at ADA in the days ahead. We plan to be even more communicative and looking for ways to share this information with our stakeholders. For example, we're testing a new system or piloting a new system of board notifications today, along with running our previous system concurrently at the same time. So that way we can make sure there are no issues with our board notification process and moving forward. So people who are attending today probably have received duplicate notifications, but I do apologize for that. We wanted to make sure that the test went smoothly. So our communications department is happy to work with members of the public at any time. We welcome public comments. You can reach us at communications@ada.org or by calling 707 area code 771-3000. So just wanted to take a moment to share some of the great work of the annual report and the work that's done this past year and to thank the board for their contributions and participation. And, of course, thank the many staff that made this annual report possible, including our new executive director, our previous executive director, our chief investment officer, our, I like to say, Tiffany, our powerhouse, as well as Jeff and Brad and Jeff Johns and many others. This was a culmination of a team effort, and I just wanted to thank you for the opportunity to present this to you today.
Thank you. Any questions, Jody? No? I'll just say I like it. I'm still trying to get this front page of Morgan here twice in the same.
He knows how to keep our investments strong here at ADA, so that's what you're seeing.
And this is public, right?
Yes.
It is public. It's available on our website. We're happy to provide you additional copies. It's on the website. We've emailed it, and we've got quite a few copies.
We send it to all the legislators.
Exactly. We have a whole plan for that, as well as different events, and would love to do that. Thanks, Bill.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
All right, brings us to item B, loan dashboard report.
Sure, Mr. Chair, I think We've lost Tiffany. Oh, Tiffany will be down in just a minute if you...
You want to go to the board resolution report?
Sure.
Information only.
Right, so it's, I think, self-explanatory, Chair, for the members, the list of the resolutions recently passed.
Okay. And then finally, is the quarterly investment measurement service review with Cali.
Right.
How are we doing?
Chair, doing better. We're, if you look at where we're ended at the third quarter of September, we're outperforming our relative benchmark by a considerable margin. Been keeping up with a replicate portfolio, and we've gained back return going into the first of this year, a couple percent now, which is doing very, very well considering equities are up a very similar amount. So, substantially less risk, very similar return profile from an equity standpoint. Equities, whether it was S&P 500 or the NASDAQ, ended down anywhere from 19 to over 30% for the year. I believe our portfolio is going to end roughly around that minus 12, minus 13% as of year end. And then, like I said, we're starting to see, the gains return. And on top of that, we're starting to see the capital be redeployed at much higher rates because of where the market is. And we're going to be allocating more capital from our enterprise development fund, which looks a little high with the capital base right now. We're strategically now going to be allocating that into higher yielding investments that are externally managed. So it's doing what it was designed for, and it held up very well during this last 12 months relatively, and now we're starting to see it perform.
Thank you.
Thank you. Unusual market last year with bonds and stocks going south. Do you see any recovery in either one of those segments going forward for 2023?
But as far as stocks go, it's all going to be on the predictability of what the market believes in the recovery and it's the higher interest rate environment on the corporate balance sheets. What we're seeing, though, is that the investment managers that we have right now have really taken advantage of the juicier or yieldy part of the curve, which, for example, with last permanent capital management, our duration is 5, which means that for every move up or down in interest rates, that's what we should see in the underlying movement of the bond prices. It's a very attractive position to be because we're not very far out in years on the curve, and we're still getting over 4.5% current yield on that, which if you look backwards about 8 to 12 months, it was under a 3 handle. So we almost doubled our cash-on-cash return and are even better positioned strategically from a duration standpoint. So I do expect us to have a current yield, which is the income component that is 95% of the return, plus a level of capital appreciation for the full-year results out of this portfolio.
Thank you, Morgan.
You're welcome.
Any further questions for Morgan?
Well,
no. Hey, Morgan, while we've got you here, I think I can speak on behalf of the board. We want to make sure we tell you we appreciate your stepping up for interim director.
Oh, absolutely. You know,
and appreciate that hard effort in between running both jobs. It's not been unnoticed, so we thank you for that.
Chair, appreciate it. Thank you,
board. And the whole board.
Thank you, board. Thank you.
Okay, so I guess now we're going to go back to loan dashboard.
Good afternoon, board members. Yes, the loan dashboard for this month is in your packet. We continue to have a stabilization of the portfolio. We have seen also a reduction in the number of principal pay downs and payoffs as the market has cooled off. We see less selling in the market, and our delinquency has remained at a 0%. We were able to fund another large loan but we still have several million dollars on the portfolio that is in process. And I was just recently able to complete the servicing for December, and our portfolio has taken a substantial increase.
All right. So I would ask, and I think with board's concurrence, that our March meeting, that you give us a list of pre-flights so we can see that quarterly.
Absolutely.
And kind of see what your intake is. We've had that before, and that gives us an idea. And then if you have stuff that's truly in the pipeline, that you're considering, we can kind of take a look at that too. Not that we're going to make any difference, it's just informational.
Absolutely.
And we can do it in the executive session for protection of the confidentiality of those folks coming in.
We'll have that at the next March first board meeting.
Questions for Tiffany? Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Randy, I'm here for that. I know.
You were quicker than I anticipated.
Well, Randy runs a good meeting. All right. So, quarterly investment measurement, did we talk about that already, Randy? Okay. All right. So, our next scheduled meeting is March 1st. Brings us to item number 9, board comments. I don't know what we're going to do the rest of the afternoon. This is like early. I know. Do we have more comments? I've got a couple, but.
Welcome aboard. Appreciate it. I think that this effort that you're going towards is going to help us immensely. Appreciate your support, your knowledge.
Thank you. And, Brandy, I welcome you and looking forward to your talents and what I think you can bring to Ada. And I also, again, like to give kudos to Morgan for the transition, going through a slightly difficult period, and it was a really smooth transition. So, and always, as always, to the staff. Thank you.
Julia
Albert?
Julia Albert, Board Chair, nothing for me.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to thank Executive Director Rare for pivoting this organization to be in a proactive stance rather than being reactive. And that's one thing that Commissioner Farragut talked about. I think it's a great position for us to be in and like your strategy so far. And so thank you to the rest of your team.
Thank you.
One other comment, if I may.
All right, one more. We got time.
I really like the annual report, and I'm really happy that it's going out to the legislators. I want to also include village leaders, let them know the more that we spread this word, the better it's going to be for the state. We'll be able to meet our objectives if more folks know about it. Thank you.
Well, first I want to thank the team, thank Randy for coming aboard and having faith in our organization and look forward to his leadership and being offensive. That's, I think you'll find most of the board members think of the offensive world, not defensive. I'd also make the comment that in our previous board meeting, the Energy Authority, we talked about having a strategic meeting, you know, for planning, and that we thought maybe the best time would be in Fairbanks during the energy fair, and we'd like to think about Ada also participating part of that day in strategic planning, and actually to work with Curtis on coordinating all that. So it's August. I don't know what the dates are. Probably the middle of August or 10th August. August 13th. Yeah. So either probably I would say on the front side of that, so that we can then participate the next day and it'd be nice if we could just stay after Gina Arena or Gina Osprey or never stayed there. I've been there, but maybe that would be a good place. We don't have to go too far and hurt cats, you know. But again, the strategic plan and with you and Curtis working to bring the strategic staff that you need for it. And also, you know, maybe find a facilitator. Or
sounds good, Chair.
Okay. All right. With that, again, thank you to staff. Appreciate the information. I will note it's 1:30. It's almost a record.
Wow.
I know. Like I said, I'll be wandering in a parking lot out there trying to deal. Also, I appreciate the pictures of the destruction of Blue Central next